Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live Wednesday edition. Delighted to have you here with us. This hour, we're going to talk about fatherhood with a man who knows a great deal about fatherhood. Among his many books, The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Become an Awesome Dad. Our guest this hour is happy to take your call if you have questions about maybe you're a Catholic parent trying to communicate the faith to a child, or maybe you're, you know, struggling as a father, or just have a question here or there about fatherhood. You are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest today is Dr. Greg Popcheck, who co-hosts More to Life with his wife Lisa on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. He's also the executive director and I think pastor of the Pastoral Institute Solutions Institute, which helps Catholics to find faith-filled solutions to tough marriage, family, and personal problems. Dr. Greg Popcheck, thanks for being with us.
Hey, great to be here. I'm not a pastor, but I am the director of the Pastoral Solutions Institute.
No, did I say pastor? I meant founder. Okay, I got all my words.
I appreciate the promotion, but I am not that.
No.
And I am many things.
Right. And having met you, thank goodness. No, not really. But are you the founder of the Pastoral Solutions Institute?
I am.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's what I meant. That's the word I was looking for.
There you go.
888-318-7884. 888-318-7884 is the number. I remember a couple years ago when Bedatitudes came out and the 8 kind of ways to be an awesome dad. Have you gotten response on that? And is there a particular one that people go, that was a good one? I really liked that one.
I think that I get a lot of good feedback on the Blessed are the Dads who are meek. The whole book, by the way, is really kind of looking at all the 8 Beatitudes as a blueprint for the fatherhood of God and how we can, as men, be fathers after the Father's own heart. So I take each of the Beatitudes and reflect it through that lens. And so Blessed are the Dads who are meek, you know, is kind of a confusing one because it seems like, you know, dads wouldn't want to be meek, right? Why would any man want to be meek? But really in the Greek, the original Greek, the word for meek is praus, which means basically it's a description for a well-trained war horse, a war horse that's not spooked easily in battle and is easily led by its rider in battle. And so when we say blessed are the dads who are meek, the idea is that it's a father who is attuned to God's will for his own life and for his family, who is able to bring the needs and concerns of his family to God and is humble enough to go where God leads him instead of just following his own desires or just going along to get along with the family. And I think that people really tend to be inspired by that one a great deal.
Yeah, because it is a little bit counterintuitive given
sure.
the current state of fatherhood. Would you... It seems it's in a parlous state a bit to me. I mean, there's a lack of fathers, there's a lack of fatherhood, and I think there's also a lack of a clear understanding about what is a father for.
Well, and that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. I think there are so many different ideas about what fathers are, what fatherhood is, and so many competing ideas about what that model should be for Christian fatherhood in particular. And so I wanted to appeal to something that was foundational to our Christian faith. And I was actually reading Pope Francis' reflection on the Beatitudes, and he made the point that the Beatitudes were the blueprint for Christian living. And it occurred to me that as I was praying through that, the Beatitudes really reveal something about how God the Father parents us. And that what a wonderful model that would be for men who wanted to be fathers after the Father's own heart. And so in my own kind of prayer through the Beatitudes, reflecting on my fatherhood and then drawing in some good research on effective fathering, that's really what the whole inspiration for the book was, just being able to present a truly foundational Christian model for what godly fathers look like, especially those godly fathers who want to resemble God the Father in the way he relates to us, his children.
Dr. Greg Popcheck is our guest, a psychologist himself and the host with his wife of More to Life with Greg and Lisa Popcheck on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have questions about fatherhood, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I get the sense I found fatherhood when it actually came around to be terrifying in the beginning.
Yep.
I suppose it's natural for men to be terrified of fatherhood, but it seems am I correct in thinking it's the terror seems particularly intense nowadays that many people are avoiding fatherhood?
That's true. Yeah, and I think it's always been scary. And I think now we live in an age of children who have been raised in fatherless households. So a lot of young men don't know what it is to be raised by a godly father at all, or grew up in households where their dad wasn't at home. And so there's a lot of confusion and a lot of questions about what it means to be a truly good and godly father. And, you know, that's the first beatitude is blessed are the dads who are poor in spirit. You know, being a dad is on the job training. And one of the points I make early in the book is it doesn't really matter where you come from. It doesn't matter whether you had a good model or a bad model, because the reality is all of us are modeling ourselves after God. After God the Father. And so we can look to him to understand what he's calling us to be. And when we reflect on that idea that blessed are the dads who are poor in spirit, we realize that nobody's got it figured out, right? And we shouldn't pretend that we do. It's okay to be humble enough to say, you know what, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to be here with you, wife, I'm going to be here with you, kids, and we're going to figure it out together because I love you and I love God. And I'm humble enough to listen to what you have to say and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I want to really not pretend that I've got it all together, that I know what I'm doing, but that I'm willing to learn. And a dad who's willing to approach his family and approach God with that heart that's willing to listen and learn, that's a dad who's poor in spirit, who's going to be a great dad.
I thought we were supposed to know everything and tell everybody.
Yeah.
Exactly. What
exactly. That's exactly right. Well, actually, you know, the funny, I tell the story in the book. I was giving a talk at a men's conference once, and, you know, I had a guy come up to talk to me and say, actually two guys. Well, one guy said, it took me 25 years to realize I wasn't going to get any credit for giving my wife stuff she didn't want. So that was the first thing, and I thought that was pretty a wise statement there, that you know, we try so hard to figure out what our wife and kids should want, and then we tell them, and then we do what we want to do for them, and then we get mad when that doesn't work.
Right.
And we've never stopped to actually say, honey, what do you need from me? You know, kids, what do you need from me? And it's not that we take, you know, an order that's been filed in triplicate with the home office and just give them whatever they want. It's our job as dads to figure out how to find godly ways for our family to get its needs. But that begins by listening to what their needs are and not killing ourselves for 25 years trying to figure out what our families want and then being upset when we guess wrong all that time and work really hard but not really smart. I had another guy, come up to me and say, you know, I know that I'm supposed to be the head of my household, but how do I know that I'm leading my family in the right way? And my answer to that, again, was this idea, ask your wife and kids what they need. What are they trying to do? Because as a dad, you know, we're not supposed to be the magician just pulling everything out of a hat. We're supposed to be a facilitator. We're supposed to be the first disciple, you know, saying, I don't know what to do, but I know somebody who does. Let's go to God and figure it out together.
Oh, yeah.
And you talk it out and you pray it out together. And you really bring the family to reflect on what it means to be a godly family. And you consider those needs in the light of that. And you facilitate that process where the family works together to discern how to get their needs and how to be everything that God is calling us to be.
Again, Dr. Greg Popcheck is our guest. Among his many books, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, a reflection on how the Beatitudes teach us to be fathers. You're welcome to call with your question, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Dr. Popcheck, when we come back, I want to ask you about... It strikes me that the Catholic Christian father, the Christian father of any stripe, I suppose, faces a particular problem in that he's trying to communicate something to his children about the nature of God and the nature of the world and reality that is going to get him labeled, probably by his children at some point, unfair or mean or bigoted, because that's what the world says about those things. I want you to maybe help us work through that a little bit when we come back on the other side. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more with Dr. Greg Popcheck and your questions on fatherhood right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
New on EWTN Radio, The Church Alive.
This is St. Monica, who I think is one of those great role models for so many mothers today.
My mother passed on to eternal life 8 years ago on the Feast of St. Monica. And you know, what a powerful example for me, because I know she prayed me back to the church.
The Church Alive with Brian Patrick, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and Father Thomas Petrie. Saturday at 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father's Day coming up. I am looking forward to what am I looking forward to as a gift? I'd like my children to tell me what's going on in their lives. I'd like to have a conversation. That is always a great thing. Mine have two out of my three are away from home now, so I don't see them as much. So I'd like to just check in with them for Father's Day, or you know, a gift certificate to the movies. Either of those would be fine. But as we approach Father's Day, we have a father himself and a man who addresses all kinds of family issues through his radio program and through his work as a therapist, Dr. Greg Popcheck. And you are welcome to call with your questions or comments, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I guess I don't ask that question, Dr. Popcheck, that I asked. Oh, and do not allow me to forget the book for fathers that you would be, your father would love to get this for Father's Day. Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. The publisher, who's the publisher on that? Just so they could find
it. It's Ave Maria Press.
Ave Maria Press.
Funny you should mention that.
I forgot. That's the best gift. I see, I already have it. So I wasn't thinking of it as a gift. But how foolish of me to forget that. But I'm not saying, I guess I wasn't coming at that question before the break about the dad who is, he seems contrary to his children because, for example, he believes in traditional marriage, or he doesn't buy the transgenderism stuff. And he seems he seems contrary to his, I'm not worried about dad's feelings so much there, but I'm worrying about what, I guess I want to know about what is dad's role then? Like when, is he just supposed to, you know, be the firm rock on which they got to keep coming back to for some?
Well, look, whether we're talking about stances on these sort of ideological issues or cultural issues that are counterculture, or we're talking about, you know, the rules, for example, that we might need to enforce about, you know, not going to certain activities or coming home earlier than your friends do or those sorts of things. The real key here is realizing that the faith needs to be the source of the warmth in the home, not just a whole bunch of rules. And one of the things I talk about in the Blessed Are the Dads Who Mourn chapter mourn. That's a weird beatitude. First of all, to mourn. I mean, it sounds kind of passive. First of all, isn't that just something that happens to you? Bad things happen, so you mourn, right? What does Jesus mean when he says, blessed are those who mourn? And again, when you look at the language there, it's not really that God wants us to be sad all the time. To mourn in that context means to have a compassionate heart, to have a heart that feels what the other people around you feel, to be joyful with those who are joyful and to weep with those who weep. The reason I'm mentioning that in this context is that when a dad is really investing his heart in his relationship with his kids, when he's putting time in, when he is affectionate, and when he is playful, and when he is engaged, the kids really experience a real warmth and love that come from that father's heart. And because of that, they're willing to accept his rules and the things that maybe don't seem to go along with what the culture says is right and wrong. They're willing to listen to what dad says because they have that strong rapport with dad.
Okay.
When kids push back against those rules, it's not because they don't get the rules or because peer pressure is too great. It's because the relationship with dad is too weak.
Ah, so keep that relationship strong with the.
If I'm able to say, all right, look, as a kid, to say, you know what, there's something different in my house. We seem to get along better. I'm closer with my dad than all my friends are with their dads. There's something about my home that's different and better. My friends like coming over to my house, hang out because, we just are a more peaceful, loving family. My dad knows all my friends' names and, is able to be appropriately, joking with them. And they like hanging out at home, and then dad says, but I need you to come home at 10 o'clock instead of midnight. Let's talk about this hard issue that all your friends think that, this thing, whether it's LGBT issues or any other controversial abortion, you name it, not sleeping around before marriage, any of these challenging things, our kids are willing to receive it because we've captured their hearts first. The more you get pushback, the more it's because there's some breakdown in the relationship. It's not an intellectual problem. It's a relationship problem.
Yeah.
And so that idea of blessed are the dads who mourn, it's about how to make that heart-to-heart connection with your spouse and with your kids so that you can turn their hearts to you so that ultimately you can then turn their hearts to God.
888-318-7884 is the number. We're talking fatherhood with Dr. Greg Popchak. Elizabeth on Facebook wants some clarification on the idea that a man is both a husband and father, and the Bible seems to suggest that he is both the head of the wife and the head of the household. What's the difference? Are they the same? What does all this mean in practice? That's what Elizabeth would like to know.
It means that he's the first servant, really is what it means, because the head serves the whole body, right? When it comes right down to it, the head gathers all the information from the body. And it tries to figure out how to meet the needs that the body has. So to be the head of the household doesn't mean that you get to boss everybody around. It means that you are that first servant. I know, right?
Come on.
I know, man. Yeah, I know. I'm a killjoy here. It means that you're the first servant. And the idea that in Ephesians, where Paul talks about that, first, that whole passage begins with husbands and wives defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's Ephesians 5:21, and the idea being that Christ is the real head of the home, right? And husbands and wives defer to one another, but the husband's role as head, quote unquote, is to get the information from the body. What does the body need, and how can I help the body get what it needs in godly ways? And so, in that sense, we're the first servant in the household under Christ, who is the head of our home.
That is so much less fun than I thought that the answer was going to be. But
can I tell you something though?
Yeah.
What's really cool about it? It's less fun, quote unquote, but in reality, what's awesome about it is that's what gets your wife to turn her heart to you, and your kids to turn their hearts to you,
right.
And then you get listened to. Like, they actually want to hear what you have to say because, you know, Dad has modeled this listening relationship where, you know, he really gets me.
Yeah.
He really cares about me. He understands me. So I want to ask him his opinion on things, and I actually want to listen to what he says when he tells me what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to when you just march in there and say, I am Dad, hear me roar, and everybody just rolls their eyes and acts like, okay, there he goes again. You know what I mean?
I get you.
It's got to be rooted in that heart-to-heart relationship. That's what allows us to lead. That's what will allow our families to really want to follow us into battle.
On the line, we have Stephen in Dallas, Texas. Stephen is listening on the Catholic Answers app. Thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Stephen, your question for Dr. Popchak.
Hi, Dr. Popchak. Love your show. I was going to ask you...
Thanks, Stephen.
So, my father... great man. I mean, he'll be able to shut off his back for anybody, but we didn't really grow up with him being the spiritual leader of our household. Me and my brothers, yeah. And, you know, being in college, we had the chance to really grow our faith, but I've seen my father make these little steps over the years. We've never really had a super huge sit-down conversation to see exactly where he is in his faith life, but, I mean, what can I do, like, as his grown son to kind of encourage him in that?
So I take it you're in a much stronger faithful place as a young adult or kind of where are you at?
I'm in a pretty great place. I was in a really awesome Catholic community at my university. I mean, just grew up. I got to go in my faith with some really awesome people. So I mean, I'm on fire.
That's great.
I've seen a lot of really good things with my father, but I would love to.
Let me ask you, are you married? Do you have kids? Just kind of so I know where you're at in your life.
Still single for right now, but I...
Okay. That's all right. God bless you. You have a beautiful heart, and God is clearly doing great things in your life, and I think you've taken some tremendous steps. You know, I think what's going to, you know, what you're going to see is if you keep living out your faith, all right, the way you are right now, and you find a prayerful young woman to marry, and you root that relationship in prayer, and you have kids, and you create a godly, prayerful family, your dad's going to see something in you that he really respects. You know, right now, he still probably sees you as his kid. I'm sure he loves you, and I'm sure he respects you, but you're still his kid, right? But as you live out your faith and you create this family where you and your prayerful wife and you and your prayerful kids are really... There's something different. You're not perfect. You know, you struggle to like everybody else, but you struggle differently. You struggle gracefully. And your dad's going to see that, and he's going to be proud of you, and he's going to be excited to see that there's something going on there. And when you get a chance to sit down and kind of talk about, oh, my gosh, the kids did this, and he kind of chuckles, you know, it's going to give you a chance to witness to how the faith is really impacting your marriage, impacting your relationship with your kids. And I think it's going to really open up his heart. Right now, you can even start by asking him to pray with you or to go to church with you or those kinds of things. But I think he'll, and those are good. You should do that now. But I think that as you move into your own marriage and family life and really start modeling that Christian difference of what fatherhood looks like, what a godly household looks like, it's going to really touch his heart. And I think that you'll be able to witness to him through that experiential way. You know, the new evangelization. We throw that word around, that phrase around a lot, but I don't think a lot of people really know what it means. But if you really read what St. John Paul meant by the new evangelization, it's an experiential evangelization. It's an evangelization rooted in relationship. He said that the families are going to be on the cutting edge of the new evangelization. And the reason he said that was because he believed that the world needed examples of what a loving family, a godly family really looks like. Because we live in a world where words are overrated. Right, we live in especially you know in your generation you got millennials for example who grew up hearing things like oh I'll always be here for you and I'll always love you and you know you can count on me and they know it's all nonsense because mom and dad you know split up and maybe dad checked out or parents weren't available or you know they were used by a boyfriend or a girlfriend they know those words don't mean what they're supposed to mean and so Pope St. John Paul the Great said that the new evangelization is really an evangelization of experience and relationship, being able to see what a godly relationship looks like. The reason I bring that up is because I think that when your dad sees you having that kind of relationship, it's going to touch something in his heart and make him realize that there's more to life than he's been settling for.
Okay,
Stephen.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much for that call, Stephen. Our number is 888-318-7884. As you're talking, I was thinking too that as Father's Day approaches, what about the dad who's blown it? And I'm thinking of, you know, there's many men who really should have stepped up when a woman aborted a child, or they weren't there for their own children's childhood, whether because of divorce or because they were working too much. What do you say to the dad who's blown it?
You know, we've all blown it one way or another. You know, and it doesn't do any good to sit there and kind of wallow in our wrongness and be wrong for the rest of our lives. What it does is that's where the blessed are the dads who are poor in spirit. And you go to your kid, you go to your wife, and you say, you know what? I haven't been the husband and the father that you needed me to be. But I want to be better. You know, show me what I can do to serve you now. I'll give you an example. I was talking to somebody the other day who was really a bit of a workaholic most of his kids' lives. And his son was going to head off to college. He was in his senior year. And the guy kind of had a conversion experience where, I mean, he'd always been going to church, but it didn't click, and something clicked for him, and he was starting to change up his prayer life and have a different relationship with God. And he went to his son and he said, "Look, I'm sorry that I haven't been the dad that you deserved, but I want to use the time that we've got to try to cultivate more of a relationship. Would you be willing to do that with me?" And the son's heart just melted. So wherever you are, you can reach your kids.
More with Dr. Popcheck right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hey everyone, Carlo Broussard here. Did you know that you can arrange for me and a host of other on-fire Catholic Answers speakers to speak at your conference or parish event? Here's how you do it. Go to CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com and you'll find all the information that you need to book me or our other great speakers. That's CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com. We look forward to seeing you.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament, from the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important. This pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
Tomorrow on More to Life, Father's Day.
Let's celebrate the great dad in your life.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Wait, I just, listening to that ad for tomorrow's show, I feel like somebody stole our topic for tomorrow's show.
I know those
people. I know those are very nice people. Very, very nice
people.
We're
going on vacation on Friday, so we have to do our Father's Day show on Thursday. So that was our tease for our show tomorrow. So if you don't get enough talk about dads tonight on Catholic Answers, tune in to More to Life, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central on your local EWTN affiliate or Sirius XM 130.
I feel like you've said that before. I feel like that's not the first time that you've said that.
Once or twice.
Hey, when you're teasing back to Catholic Answers, you know, you could always, you know, say hi to me or Nick. or Marie, if you want.
I could do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tease. Catholic answers. Ha ha. We're better than you are.
That's not how we mean the word tease.
That presumes I'm a radio professional. I know what you're talking about. I have no clue what that anyone.
Oh really? I have got to talk to the people at EWTN. They just let anybody on the air now.
They do let anybody.
By the way, just so you know, Nick, our super sound engineer, is on the verge of being a father for the second time any day now. Due date is next Tuesday, but he's already got all his work done, so he can just go whenever.
Very awesome. Congratulations, man.
Oh, he said thanks. Apparently, his microphone's off. Okay, we got Miranda in Atlanta, Georgia. Dead silence. Yeah, he's terrified in there. No, wait till you're outnumbered, Nick. Miranda in Atlanta, Georgia, listening on the Quest Radio in Atlanta. You are up next with Dr. Greg Popcheck. Your question, please.
Good evening. I was calling because I was married twice. During the second marriage, that husband and I came into the Catholic faith. During that year-long annulment process, my first husband passed away, unfortunately. So that ended that first marriage. So everything that the diocese was doing came to a halt, and I was able to come into the Catholic faith, because also during that year-long process, I and the second husband divorced. So my question is, now that I'm in the faith, if I were to ever, whenever God sees fit, to remarry a third time, would I have to go through an annulment process from the second husband that I was divorced from? Because we would never marry in the Catholic Church.
You were, and I'm not a canon lawyer, nor do I play one on the radio. So between Cy and I, we can help you out here. But help me understand. Were you baptized Catholic or Christian at all?
I was Protestant. I was baptized. Yes.
You were baptized.
Yes. Went through the whole. Okay. Yes.
But you. But you went through a divorce before you became Catholic.
Correct. And while I was in the process of doing the annulment to come into the faith, I ended up divorcing the second husband.
Right.
So I came into faith not married to anybody.
And were either of those husbands, were they baptized as well?
The first one who passed away was not baptized. The second husband was baptized, and he is now also a convert into the faith.
Well, when you became a Catholic, you were not married. That is not a thing that is certain. It may have been that in the eyes of the church, you were still married. And that's what the annulment process is for, to figure out, was that marriage a valid marriage? Because a valid marriage remains valid. It doesn't become invalid when you convert. So the
first step would be talking to your pastor about it, basically, because it's entirely possible. For example, even if you're not baptized and you have a civil marriage, that could be considered valid in the eyes of the church. It really depends on how your understanding of marriage and the status of sort of your relationship to the church and when you got married. And so that would be something that you would need to talk with your pastor and possibly the diocesan tribunal office about. That would be your next step, though.
So is there a deacon or a priest at your parish, Miranda, that you'd feel comfortable just going up, telling them exactly what you just told us and getting them their response?
Yes, there is. My pastor that actually brought me into the faith, I can go back to that church, because I'm no longer, once we divorced, I don't even go to that particular parish anymore, but I do still feel comfortable with the priest who brought me into the faith.
I'd just run it by him, Miranda, because he'll be able to, it's not meant to be a great laborious process. You just need an answer, and the church will help you get that answer. If they can give you a quick answer, they'll give you a quick answer. If it's going to take a little more, they'll help you through it.
I'm sorry. I was just saying I have no prospects at this time. So whenever however, in the future, if ever.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, would I have to go through the same? Because that took a year for that whole process to the point where it was being sent out to the Vatican, to the Roman Church, in order to do the annulment. If ever
so
I were to meet someone. Yeah.
Well, I don't think either Dr. Popchak or I knows the answer. I don't know that it's something that you're going to have to get your diocese or your local parish and your diocese to help you out with. I'm so happy to hear from you. I'm so glad you're safely in the Catholic Church, receiving the sacraments and all that. But this is just a thing. I mean, as you said, you're not married now.
Well, it's a complicated situation. I mean, if we were talking, I'm relatively comfortable answering these sorts of questions. But when you're talking about, you know, second marriage and third marriages and kind of where she's at, and that's where you really need to get a pastor involved and perhaps even the tribunal. So I think, that's really the best we can do here. But what I want to respond to one other piece of this, and that's, you know, what is this whole annulment thing about anyway? And I talk about this more actually in my book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage. You know, think of it this way, and this is not a canon law answer, this is more of a pastoral answer, but I think it makes sense to a lot of people. You know, when you get married in the church, you make certain promises that other people don't make necessarily when they get married. So, for example, in addition to the promise to share your stuff and claim your kids, which you'll make in a civil ceremony, in a Catholic marriage, you're also going to make that promise to help each other get to heaven and be everything that God wants you to become and become those saints, right? Now, those aren't promises you'd make in a civil ceremony. So there's an extra layer of promises. And when the church says this marriage is invalid, what it means is you didn't make all the promises that we require you to make in a marriage. And so investigating that means, you know, in an annulment case, were you capable of making those promises that the church requires of marriage, and did you actually make them? And that's what the annulment process is really all about, looking at that question. And so when you're talking about a complicated situation like you have, Miranda, it's good to get that pastoral advice to be able to begin to ask those questions about where were you at in that second marriage especially, did you make the promises that the church was asking you to make, and were you capable of making the churches that the church was asking you to make? So, and that's more complicated than we can get into on the air.
And it is a ministry of the church, and you are welcome to it, and I think it will bring a great deal of peace to you if you go that route. And thanks so much for the call, and delighted to have you as a sister in the Catholic faith. Our number, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We're talking fatherhood with Dr. Greg Popchak from More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So what about the struggling father? Dr. Popchak, the father, you know, not the father who says...
Like all of us? You
mean? Yeah. Yeah, but I suppose when...
Struggling how? How struggling in what way?
Maybe feeling I'm not making it. I need help. Okay, so you get into this parenthood thing. Maybe there's a marital problem, maybe a problem with the children, or maybe just the father himself is feeling... overwhelmed, or incapable, or just needs help to do it. What you have a novena? What do you say to that, Father?
Well, I guess I would say two things. I mean, the to be datitudes that apply in that case. So number one, blessed are the dads who are poor in spirit, because again, it's all about the humility, the really willingness to recognize that none of us know what we're doing. That this is all on the job training, and that if we need skills, there are ways to get those skills, and we just need to be humble enough to go and ask and get them. The other one, the other beatitude is blessed are the dads who are peacemakers, because we realize that peace, as St. Augustine said, is the tranquility that results from right order. You know, so it's our job to figure out how we can facilitate that right order in our household and get the skills that we need to do that, and to not feel like we have to do it all by ourselves. That's why God gave us a wife, and we can get our kids buy-in on this too. But it's a matter of having that open heart that's willing to learn, that's humble enough to listen, that's willing to get those skills that we need, and never feel like, oh, because I don't know how to do it right now, there's no way I can possibly get the answers.
Again, Dr. Greg Popchak, our guest. We're talking about fatherhood. 888-318-7884 is our number. The book is Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an excellent, wait, no, did I get that right? An awesome, eight ways
awesome
to be an
dad.
Awesome dad, which is what you are called to be. A great gift for your father for Father's Day. 888-318-7884 is that number. By the way, we've got a free ebook for you right now over at shop.catholic.com, completely free. By free, we mean you don't have to pay anything for it. It's called The Catholic Answers Guide to Asking the Right Questions. The premise of the book is that conversation is at the heart of evangelization. We need to learn how to listen to people, ask questions, and ask the right questions that allow us to have those kinds of conversations. You can have it for free. Just go over to shop.catholic.com right now and click on the Asking the Right Questions banner and get your free ebook today.
Catch Catholic Answers live anytime at catholic.com.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Fatherhood this hour on Catholic Answers Live. If you have a question about fatherhood, you're welcome to call, whether you're a dad or not. 888-318-7884. Our guest is Dr. Greg Pupchek. Next hour, Jimmy Akin's going to be here, and we're going to talk about the New Testament. Oh, well, we're going to talk about the New Testament, but he also wrote a book called The New Testament, 20 Answers on the New Testament. And so we'll be talking about the book, and we'll be taking your questions about the New Testament. If you got them, save him up for another 20 minutes.
He didn't write the New Testament. He did the next best thing.
That's right. Yes, exactly. He just called his book the New Testament. Now he can say, I wrote the New Testament. Up next,
I like that, Jimmy Akin.
I know, he's no dope. Up next is Molly in St. Paul, Minnesota. She's listening on Channel 130, EWTN Radio, on Sirius Satellite Radio. Molly, your question for Dr. Pupchek.
Hi, Dr. Pupchek. I just wanted to thank you and your wife for your other program on EWTN. I listened to the podcast, and they've really been a great blessing to our family. So thank you for that.
You mean that superior program, More to Life, that airs at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central?
Oh, man, yeah, here he goes.
That would be the one.
Thanks, Molly. Thanks a lot for starting.
Well, it's way better than Catholic Answers.
Wait a second. Oh, yeah, okay. See, once you get him started... on how great he is.
Sorry, Molly. Please go on and ask your excellent question.
Molly?
I scared Molly away.
What happened to Molly? Hang on.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm here.
There she is.
No,
that's...
I was wondering.
You're good. No, that was me. I'm sorry.
I come from a large family.
Yeah.
And my husband comes from a smaller family. And not that he isn't open to life, but he is also... Mm-hmm. A little bit older than me. We just had our fourth child about a year ago. And so mm-hmm. I brought up the topic of more children again recently, and it seemed to kind of really stress him out.
Sure.
And I just want to know, how can we as a couple approach this? How can I make sure that I'm being respectful to where he's at and his desires, but also, like, make sure that, you know, I'm listening to what I'm feeling as well.
Yeah. So we actually talk about this in both For Better Forever and in our book. This is the one I really want you to follow up with. But praying for and with your spouse, the way to deeper love. Now let me get into this kind of from a different angle. Let me ask you, how do you and your husband pray right now? Do you guys pray together at all?
We do, and we pray with the children at night, and then awesome. We also have a kind of a bedtime routine with just the two of us.
Beautiful.
That's great. Okay, so are you guys praying about this question at all?
I don't know. Probably not specifically.
So, okay, let me walk you through how to do that then, okay? And again, I talk about this in Praying For and with your spouse, just step by step, and I'll give you the outline so you can kind of start tonight, and then if you need more help, you can pick that up. So basically, inevitably, when I'm talking to couples and they're kind of struggling with this whole should we have more kids or not thing, even if they're praying, a lot of times what they'll say is, well, you know, when I pray about it myself, you know, I feel like God tells me this. And then the other spouse will say, well, I feel like when I pray about it, God tells me that. And they're like opposite things. And so you start wondering, well, is somebody not hearing God right? Or is God like lying to one of them? Or what's that all about? And what's really going on there is that God wants to use everything that a couple goes through to draw them closer to each other and to Him. So often God will give one piece of the puzzle to the husband and another piece of the puzzle to the wife. And He does that because it's an invitation to come together in prayer with Him and talking with each other, so He can teach them how to put those two pieces of the puzzle together. In the meantime, though, when they're holding on to this piece of the puzzle, they think that puzzle is the whole picture. Okay? And so the whole process of praying about this is going to God and saying, okay, Lord, this is what's on my heart. And I don't know what to do with that, but you placed this on my heart. And your husband can say the same thing, Lord, you know, I'm kind of terrified of this whole idea because of X, Y, and Z, for example. And I wouldn't know how to have another child and do X, Y, and Z. But, you know, and you're saying, well, you know, I don't necessarily know that either, but I feel this longing here. So let's pray about this and say, okay, God, we all each know what we have on our heart, but help us to know what is on your heart for us. And help us to figure out how to move ahead with any desire that you have to increase our family that also respects the concerns that are there so that, you know, as we grow our family, we also grow in intimacy and grow in closeness because we're attending to those concerns and we're able to then fully give our hearts to every child that comes on the scene as well. So it's not a question of do we or don't we. It's a question of how do we approach this in a way that also takes into account those serious concerns that my husband or my wife also has. And you don't just go back and forth and polarize it, do we or don't we? It's how do we approach this in a way that's also respectful of those concerns and bring that whole package to God and help Him lead us through that. So it's about the prayer and conversation, not in a polarized way, but in a both-end sort of a way. Does that make sense?
That is really beautiful. Thank you.
Okay. And this way you're able to really hear each other's concerns too. So you're not fighting about it. You're really loving each other through that process. And like I said, you could start with just what I shared with you, but the book Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, walks you step by step through how to pray about family size, how to pray through conflict, how to, you know, really just bring God into every part of your relationship. It's more than just sort of saying words at God. It's really about how can you come together as a couple in God's presence and really let Him use everything in your marriage to draw you closer to Him and to each other. So if you want more information on that, check out Praying For and With Your Spouse.
Okay, Molly?
Okay, thank you.
Molly?
Thanks for the question.
Are you still there, Molly?
Yes.
Could you do me a favor?
Thank you very much.
Could you do me a small favor, Molly?
Yes, yeah.
Could you call Greg's show tomorrow and say how good this show is?
I will do my darndest.
Okay, thanks, Molly. I would really appreciate that.
Totally not going to take that call.
I see Molly coming from a mile away. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. We're talking about fatherhood. I'm asking this on behalf of a young woman. It doesn't necessarily work here at Catholic Answers and thinking about getting married.
Asking for a friend.
How does... a young woman is looking for a spouse, and what is she looking for in the way of fatherhood? How does she know what to look for in the way of fatherhood? That's the hardest question you've ever been asked right there.
I just want to understand. So how can you choose a good father for your children? You mean like when you're dating? How would you know that the person you're dating is going to be a good father?
Yeah.
He's a prayerful man and a good listener. Because again, I mean, those two qualities really come down to it. It's because a prayerful man realizes that he is not the authority in his own life, that God is, and he's willing to listen to God. And if he's a good listener to you, he's willing to really hear what you have to say and take it to heart. And again, this is not about, you know, the silly T-shirt, you know, that the best thing a husband can say to his wife is yes. It's not that. It's about being able to listen and really reflect on what my wife needs from me, for example, so that I know the kind of husband that God is calling me to be to her. And if I'm able to be humble enough to hear that and take that to God and pray through that and allow myself to be stretched in the relationship, I'm going to allow myself to do that with my kids, too. And that's what kids need. They need a dad who's willing to really hear. You know, you said something when you were plugging the book on evangelization earlier. You said that evangelization is about conversation. You know, we just did a series of videos for a Franciscan University Catechetical Institute on the Ministry of Parenting. And one of the videos that we did in there was how to evangelize your kid. And we said it's exactly the same thing. It's about conversation. It's not about giving your kids rules. It's not about laying down the law. It's not about dragging them to church. It's about being willing to have conversations with them that introduce them to God and help them see how God loves them and wants to walk alongside of them through all the stuff they go through. But I can't do that if I'm not a prayerful man and I'm not a listening man. And that's what you need to look for.
I hope that helps, Marie. I mean, anybody who might be interested.
Friend.
Let's go to Dennis in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Dennis, you there with us?
Yeah, thanks.
Sure, your question.
Pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Popchak.
Thanks for talking with you, Dennis.
This is a question about just people who have a really demanding job and demands outside of the home, and kind of if you have any recommendations or resources or thoughts on how to kind of reflect on that and make sure you're not kind of doing the wrong thing. And I'll give you a brief example, and I think maybe others, like maybe in the military, things might have similar things, but I did medical school and doing an intense surgical training and have a couple more years of that, and then even the career in cardiac surgery is going to be a very demanding thing. And just, you know, along the way, keep questioning, you know, we're doing great, and we made these decisions together, my wife and I, and we've got 8 kids now, and number 9 on the way. But I just, you know, I wonder, you know, doing jobs where you're gone that much and working that much, you know, sometimes if it's the right thing or if I'm just kind of getting misdirected because of my own desires.
Okay.
Well, I mean, are you and your wife praying about that? Let's start there.
Yeah, we are, and she's supportive. Like I said, right now we're coming up on a decision in the next.
It's not about being supportive. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I mean, you're feeling something on your heart. Okay, you're saying there's on the one hand, there's part of you that says I'm really committed to this career, and it's an important career, and I'm doing valuable godly work. Right. On the other hand, there's this other part of your heart that's saying I wonder if somehow this isn't asking too much of my wife and children. How much I'm away. And what I'm saying is, when you pray, I want you to bring those two parts of your heart to God together. And I want you to take both of them seriously. Not just say, honey, is it okay if I do this work? But really, look, I'm torn. You know, there's a part of me that really feels like I don't, you know, there's something off here. And what is God saying to me through that? And having that kind of honest conversation with your heart, with God, and with your wife, and with your kids for that matter, to be able to say, you know, I don't want my heart to be at war with itself. And I think that God may be trying to show you, Dennis, that there is a way to fulfill the longings of your heart professionally, but still be that present father and husband, that there's another part of your heart that's saying that it wants to be. Now, I don't know what the answer to that is, but I can tell you that God knows it. And I can tell you, you know, from my own experience, I was working long hours in a face-to-face counseling practice. Oh, this would have been over 20 years ago now. And I was coming home late and coming home tired and didn't have the kind of energy for my wife and kids that I really wanted. And I was praying about that. I was like, Lord, I love this work. I'm grateful that you're giving me the opportunity to touch so many hearts with this work, but I'm not able to be here for my wife and kids the way I want to be. Help me to know how to do both of these things. And over the course of some time, he led me to this crazy thing where I created this institute that does a Catholic telephone counseling practice. And I'm able to work at home and touch hearts all over the world and still be present to my wife and kids. Now, if you had told me 30 years ago that I was going to be a telephone counselor, I would have laughed in your face. because that didn't exist and nobody was doing it. A Catholic telephone counselor and telephone, what the heck is that? But God had a plan for my life that was amazing, that took advantage of all of my gifts and talents in ways that I could never imagine, and allow me to do what I love and be present to the people that I love too. And I believe that God has a plan like that for you too. If you are a godly, prayerful man and you have those two things on your heart, bring it to God every day. Lord, I want to be present to my wife and my kids, and I want to be a great doctor, and I don't know how to do it all, but you do, because you place these things on my heart, and they're not going to be at war with each other. Show me how to be the man that you want me to be. We talk about how to pray through that in Beatitudes and also praying for and with your spouse, and I just really encourage you to start praying in that direction with your wife, and I really think that God's going to lead you into some pretty exciting places.
Okay, Dennis?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Dennis.
I very much appreciate that call. Dr. Greg Popchek is our guest. We're talking about fatherhood, and as we approach Father's Day, some of us, I guess it takes a lifetime to get the idea that God is our father. So even if we're a father ourselves, we need fathering all the way through. We still need fathering.
Well, and actually, in Beatitudes, I divide each chapter into three sections. So, you know, we can't give what we don't have, right? So first, we have to get our relationship with the Father, God the Father, right, and realize what it means to be His Son. And so the first section of each chapter in the Beatitudes looks at how does this beatitude apply to my relationship with my Heavenly Father? And what does that mean to me to be a faithful son? Then the second section of each chapter looks at now how do I play that out in my relationship with my partner, my wife, and really communicate God's love to her? And then finally, how can I then mirror and image that fatherhood to my children?
The book is Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. The author is our guest, Dr. Greg Popchek. Dr. Greg Popchek, thank you very much.
Thank you, Si. Great being here.
And you can also find that business he referred to, CatholicCounselors.com, right? CatholicCounselors.com.
Yes, sir. CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice. Check it out.
Right back with Jimmy Akin on the New Testament.